Okay, so yesterday I told you that we should start thinking about the issue of Nogea Be'edus. Again, let's just see in the Gemara how this plays out. Again, the Gemara is trying to figure out what's a case where you are coming along and postuling someone else's aid. According to a mayor, I need to stand. According to a mayor, you could postule somebody else's aid. You have the right to postule somebody else's aid. However, the Gemara said that you do not have the right to postule somebody else's dayan if it's a dayan mumcha. So the Gemara was bothered by the kasha on the bottom of Chav Gimel Aleph. What do you mean? Every aid should be just like a dayan mumcha. So if you can't postule a dayan mumcha, then you can't postule aidim. Aidim are just like a dayan mumcha. So the Gemara said, no, you're not postuling aidim. You're postuling, what was it? You're not postuling two aidim. You're postuling eid echad. And that's the case. The Gemara said, well, that's ridiculous. An Eid Echad doesn't need you to apostle him. He's apostle anyway, because an Eid Echad doesn't accomplish anything in terms of money. In terms of Shavua, he accomplishes, but you don't have the right to apostle him for Shavua. And in terms of money, he doesn't need you to apostle him. He's apostle anyway. He doesn't accomplish anything. So what's the case where you are apostling? It's crazy. What's the case where you are apostling an Eid Echad that Rav Meir says you have the right to apostle, and the Chum say you don't have the right to apostle? So the Gemara had one possibility of the case must be that you were mekabel him as an aid, as kishnei aidim, that it was one aid, but you decided, I love him so much, we'll treat him like two aidim, I'll take him for whatever he says, I'll take whatever he says, and we'll view that as the din. So a mayor holds, just because you said you're going to take whatever he says and view that as the din, doesn't mean you have to stand by your word. If you don't like what he says, you could say, no, he's just one aid, I don't have to listen to him. And the Chacham say, no, once you committed that you're going to take whatever this guy says and you're going to treat that as the din, so then you have to stick with that. You can't back out later on. That was one possibility of what Ramey and the Chacham were arguing about. Then the Gemara's second possibility, what Rav Meir and the Chum are arguing about, the Gemara's actually going to have four possibilities, but the second possibility is Amr Abelazar. And this is our topic, about 10 lines in on the page, Amr Abelazar, Chav Gimel and Beis, toward the end of the line, Amr Abelazar, Bibo hu va'acher l'poslan. We go back to the case where we're assuming that when the Machlok Rav Meir and the Chum about whether you can postle somebody's aid is not about an aid echad. It's about postling shnei aidim. You're postling two witnesses. What was our problem with that? What was our problem with saying that that the case Rav Meir and the Chum argued about is that you're apostling two witnesses? Our whole problem was you're not allowed to apostle a dayan mumcha, we said. Or we thought we said, right? The first statement the Gemara made, you're not allowed to apostle a dayan mumcha. Well, two witnesses are just as strong as a dayan mumcha. So why is it that everyone holds you're not allowed to apostle a dayan mumcha, but Rav Meir thinks you're allowed to apostle two eidim? How could it be that one guy is going to come along and apostle two eidim? That a lover is allowed to say, nah, I don't like those aidim, they're pasul. What do you mean they're pasul? How can you pasul two aidim just because you don't like them? So that's what the Gemara says, that no, it's not just you coming along and pasuling the two aidim, you bring a friend with you. It's bahu va'achr. What does the Gemara say? Amr ablazer, bahu va'achr l'poslan. You come along with another friend to pasul the two aidim. And that way, Rav Meir holds, you are able to pasul them, the Chum say you're not able to pasul them. So ask the Gemara, why should your word count for anything to passel Aidim who are about to testify against you? Two people come to court, they're about to say you owe $1 million. So I'm going to scream, oh, they're passel, you can't trust what they're going to say. Of course I'm going to scream, they're passel, you can't trust what they're going to say. Because if you do trust what they're going to say, I'm going to owe $1 million. If you don't trust what they're going to say, I won't owe $1 million. Is there any greater bias than that? So why do I have any right to open up my mouth, even if I bring a friend along with me, to testify together? How do I have any right to open up my mouth and say anything about whether these guys are kosher or pasul? No gea beidusahu. He's absolutely no gea beidus. So the Gemara says, Amar vacha b'rei ravika, kigon shakara alav irer. So that's supposed to be an answer. What does that mean? Shakara alav irer. That I've said something bad about him. Well, yeah, that's the idea of saying that he's pasul eidus. I've said that these guys are pasul. I said something not nice about them. So Gemara says, what did you just accomplish? Ira demai. What kind of bad things am I saying? Ilema ira de gazel nusa. If I'm yelling and screaming, don't trust those two aidim that are saying that I owe $1 million, they're ganavim. Well, look, okay, of course I'll call them ganavim, because if I can establish them as ganavim, I won't owe $1 million. I'm back to being nogea beidus. I'm obviously biased. So the Gemara says, eli ira de pekam mishpacha. No, I'm not screaming that these Eidim are ganavim. What am I saying? What is here to become mishpacha? I'm screaming that this one's Bubby was a prostitute or something and slept with some Eved, and that's and this guy's not really a Jew, and the, whatever it is, or the Zaydi, something, whatever it is, I'm screaming about something in their lineage that totally ruins their kashrus as an aid. That's what I'm screaming about. Not don't trust him as an aid because he's a ganav. That I'm obviously biased. I'm discrediting his whole family lineage. And for that, I'm not biased. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how does that help? Ir de pagam mishpacha. So the Gemara says, Rameir savar hani amishpacha kamishadi vi'um emele kapasel. Rameir holds, I'm not nogay anymore, I'm not biased. Because I'm not being made about these Edim who are saying I owe $1 million. I'm being made about their bubby. The bubbies and the Zaydis. That's what I'm being made about. Elamai, once I say the bubbies and Zaydis were these terrible people, so then it turns out they're not good Edim either. But my Edus isn't about them, it's about the bubbies and the Zaydis. And the Chum say, I don't care that the Edus is about, the words I say are about their bubbies and Zaydis. The bottom line is, what am I doing? When I testify about the Rabbis and Zaydis, I'm making these Edim puzzle. And I'm very biased to want to make these Edim puzzle. So at the end of the day, I'm totally biased. Whose sheet is more logical? So much more logical. In fact, Rameir doesn't make any sense, it seems. What kind of comment is that? Because the actual words I'm saying are about their Babi and Zaydi, then I'm not nogeya? I know very well what I'm accomplishing when I scream about their pagam mishpacha. I know very well that that means that these Edim will be puzzled, they will not be able to say that I owe $1 million. I know exactly what happens. That's exactly how it's going to play out. I'm not nogeya now. Of course I'm nogeya the Edos. Absolutely nogeya. Right? Very, very difficult Gemara to understand. What is the sheet of Rabbi Meir over here? And within the first day, the first approach, where it was all about Eid Echad, we understand what the sheet of Rameir was. Rameir was arguing, once I was Mekabel in Eid Echad Kitrei, can I back out on that? Over here, we're talking about that I'm testifying against two Eidim, and I'm screaming that they have a Pekam Mishpacha. We're saying, oh no, I'm not Nogei Abedavar. I'm not biased to say that they have a Pekam Mishpacha, because I'm testifying about the Babi and Zaydi. How does that work? How does that take away the Negiya? That's one major kasha that you have to ask in this Gemara. Another kasha that comes up is the kasha of the Or Zeruah. Not a kasha, but more of an inquiry of the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, which is source number one on the handouts, look at the second line over there. Ukma Rabbi Lazar l'masnisin. Ve'edim mamish velo edo. What's he saying? Whereas the first approach to our Mishnah was that we must be talking about one aid, and you were just makabel him like two. But Rabbi Lezer comes along, approach number two, and says, no, we're talking about two edim that you passel. Right? It's edim, not edo. Ubba huva acher leposlo. And you're coming along with a friend to passel him. Exactly what the Gemara says. And the Gemara explained that what are you saying about these Edim? You're saying that they have a Pekam Mishpacha. Sha'omer shu Eved, Mishpacha Savadim, Ulaheiral Mishpacha Shlonishtach Rabbah. What I'm coming to do is I'm coming to be made that these Edim are from families of Avadim that were never freed. And Avadim that were never freed, even the grandchildren are Avadim. Rav Shapta once told us in YU, he came into Shiri was a little flustered. He said, I can't believe what just happened. He said, what happened? He said, I passed by the security guard on the way into the building, and I always say hello to the security guard, and I saw that his name tag said Zaydi on it. And so I said, that's an interesting name, Zaydi. So he said, yeah, I'm named after my great-great-grandfather, who was a slave on a Jewish plantation in the South, and they named him after the grandfather in the Jewish family who had passed away, whose name was whatever, but they called him Zaydi. So they named him Zaydi. So Rav Shapta said, I was thinking, should I tell him that he's chayiv in mitzvos ki isha? That he has a din of an eved kanani? That he's probably chayiv in mitzvos like an isha's chayiv in mitzvos? I don't think he did tell him that, but that would technically be the halacha. If he's really an eved kanani, and there never was a formal shichur. Abraham Lincoln, you know, it doesn't help the fact that you need a formal shichur from your own, get a shtar shichur from your own master, which may or may not have happened, most likely did not happen. So then, even the Einoklach are going to be chayv mitzvahs kisha, whatever din of an eved kanani. So that's what you're doing. You're coming along. You're saying pekam mishpacha. You're saying that that his grandfather's name was Zaidi, right? That's what you're coming along and saying. So the Rameir Savrahani Amishpacha Kamisadi. Rameir holds that you're just being made on the mishpacha. And it happens to be when I say that the Zaidi was an eved, turns out he's an eved too. Hilchach sadusa aviv lav kenogei abeidus. That's where lav kenogei abeidus. That's where Rameir holds. It's not nogei abeidus. And the Rabbanon hold. Rabbanon tarvi sof nagi abeidus anein valach karabbanon. That at the end of the day, of course you're nogei because you don't want these edim to be valid edim. And we pass like the Rabbanon. But if it was near the gadlus lanusa, if you were just saying that there are a bunch of ganavim, then even Rameir would say that you're nogei. You can't just call the guy a ganav. We're never going to believe you. Of course you're nogei bedaver. Says the Arzarua, second line on the second page over there, Velo is barley hechadav rugil meimar hay baldin da hay aid gazlan hu kodem zehamaisa, should be e not o e mehemet. So what does that mean? What's his suffix? Hechadav rugil meimar hay baldin da hay aid gazlan hu kodem zehamaisa e mehemet. Then what's the suffix? What's the suffix? What's yours we're not sure about?
Can we call him Gazlan even before the case started?
Before this guy ever had any testimony against me that I owe $1 million. For years I've been screaming this guy's a Gazlan. Now he comes to Beis Din and he says I owe $1 million and I'm still screaming that he's a Gazlan. Am I still called Nogea? Why would you say yes? Why would you say no? I'll tell you why I'm called Nogea, because if Beis Din establishes him as a Gazlan, I won't owe $1 million anymore. Why would I not be Nogea? What would be the svar to say I'm not Nogea?
Saying before.
And therefore?
You're saying before you're Nogea, so you
still
haven't changed your opinion, but you weren't Nogea.
So when's my real Eidus? My real Eidus was before, or my real Eidus is now?
I guess that's the question.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't change the fact that you're Nogea Vendavar. It just changed the order of everything. Even if he was screaming beforehand that he was a Gazlan, and he's saying it again now, he's still no Gea B'davar, but now it might have much more standing than it did.
Okay, so you're saying, of course he's no Gea still, because it's still going to affect him deeply to the tune of $1 million. Right? So of course he's no Gea, but he's a much more trustworthy no Gea. Because, you know, he didn't just dream this up today, he's been saying this for years. Good? That's, I guess, question number two. I want to be magdir exactly that suffix. What exactly is the Arzarua unsure about, and how can we answer that suffix? Okay, so again, question number one is, Rameir makes no sense. How can you say that just because he's being made that the Zaidi was an Eved, that it's not a Nogay? Of course it's Nogay. It's going to save $1 million, because he knows that the grandchildren are going to be declared Avadim. Question number two is, what exactly is the Arzarua struggling with, and can we answer his question about, if I have been saying that the guy's a Gazlan for years, so am I allowed to, if I've been saying he's a Gazlan for years, am I still considered a problem of Nogea? He then says, another suffix, V'lo's barley nami imifsal hay eid l'sharei duyos. Another suffix. What does that mean? V'lo's barley imifsal hay eid l'sharei duyos. Which eid? Which aid is he not sure about? What? The aid that he's testifying against? So let's see, how does he say? The Lord's brother in Amir Salahai the Shari, this whole the Iker Asaduse the High Litzarcho Hava, Lomifsal Alpiva Fil the Shari Duyos, Odum Bishari Dushe Ignogea Bedavar, Mifsal Alpiv. Meaning, I'm saying the guy's a Gazlan. If the guy's a Gazlan, he shouldn't only be a Gazlan as far as I'm concerned, he should be a Gazlan as far as everyone's concerned. So I'm testifying against this guy that he's a Gazlan. So I don't have the ability to make him no good for my case. But I'm not no Gea B'davar to say that he's a Gazlan in another case. Right? It's saying that he's a Gazlan in a case that doesn't involve me. And that's what I am in fact saying. When I say he's a Gazlan, I'm saying he's a Gazlan and therefore he can't be an aid anywhere. So he may be testifying that I owe $1 million, and it may not be believed that he's a goslin that you know, to pass him for my case. But he's also saying that you know, Shimon owes Levi $1,000, and I got nothing to do with Shimon or Levi. So have I disqualified him for that case also? What does it stunt him with this suffering?
It's the same idea as the last one. It depends on why you're disqualifying him. If it's the fact that he's karov, or if he's a liar. If he's a liar, obviously you wouldn't trust him for other cases also.
Very good. Right? So this is gonna turn out to be the same chakira. So let's see where the chakira comes from. I told you yesterday so again, just to frame things. Question number one, Rameir makes no sense. Question number two, what if the guy had been saying he's Gazlan for 20 years? Question number three is, I'm not believed to say he's a Gazlan to passel him for my case, but have I in fact passeled him for every other case by saying that he's a Gazlan? Okay? So these are the three questions. The starting point of the whole Chakira is the Gemara that I mentioned at the end of Shir yesterday, where the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bav Basra, the Gemara tells us, if you look in source number 4, Amar Rav Marshmol Mishmei Deshmuel, Hamocher Sadin L'Chaveru Shelo Bachrayis, if I sell a field to somebody and I take no responsibility for anything that's going to happen to that field, Ein Meid Lo Aleha. In the future, I'm never allowed to testify that the field belongs to the person I sold it to, Mimbnei Shemami D'Befnei Bal Chovo. Because I obviously want the field to belong to the guy I sold it to, so that in case I have any creditors who are going to come to take, I want them to have where to take from. They'll always be able to take from this guy that I sold it to, so that's why I'm not believed to testify about that. I'm not believed to testify that the guy I sold it to still owns the field. The Gemara explains, does the Gemara explain or the Rishonim explain? Rishon explain. The love of Rosh of Lo Yishalim. This is Mendali Ramadali. Babasra. The Rishonim explain that why is it that I'm not going to be believed, Meshama Midab and Febal Kovo? Because we assume, what do I care if my Balchov has what to collect from? So my Balchov, anyway, when my Balchov collects, he doesn't go right away to the people that I sold fields to. Who does he go to first? So if I owe somebody money, who does he go to first? He goes to me first. It's only in the event that I don't have money that he's going to go to someone I sold the field to. So what do I care? If he has where to go, he doesn't have where to go. Either way, it doesn't affect me. So the Sharma explained now, it does affect me, because if the Balchov has nowhere to go to get his money, he's going to start telling everybody that I'm a Russia, that I borrow money and I don't pay back, and that he was stiffed, and that's going to be my reputation. But if he has where to collect from, so then he'll be happy with me. He'll be b'shalom with me. The guy that I sold the field to also has to be b'shalom with me, because I sold the Shlomo Achrayus. I told him I'm not taking any responsibility for what happens to that field. So he also has to be aware of that, and that probably brought the purchase price down significantly, because I wasn't taking any Achrayus. So he didn't want the Carfax report. Okay, so he's got to live with it. If he doesn't want to, so that's fine. So then I'd be good. So why am I not allowed to testify? Because my negia, my bias over here, is my reputation. My bias over here is that I don't want to be such a horrible human being that doesn't pay back his loans. So I want the guy I sold to have the field, so that my debtors, my creditors, will know that they have where to go to, and that I pay back my loans. Frecht the Maram and other Achronim. Wait a second. What are we saying? I don't want to be a Russia who doesn't pay back his loans. So what am I going to do instead? I'm going to lie in a court of law on a Sefer Torah, whatever, not on a Sefer Torah, but I'm going to testify and lie, say Edus Sheker, and this is Daraisa, that this field belongs to this guy because I don't want to be a Russia. Well, guess what? You're a Russia anyway. There's a mitzvah Daraisa when you borrow money to pay back the money, right? That's a din. Someone was just telling me yesterday, How do we know that minog is mevatal halacha? This is the old famous Yiddish joke, I think. How do we know minog is mevatal halacha? Because when you borrow money, the halacha is that you have to pay it back. But the minog is people don't pay back. So you see that minog overpowers halacha. Right? But there is a clear halacha that I have to pay it back when I borrow money. And yet, there's also a clear halacha that I'm not allowed to lie. So you're going to say that you can't trust my edos because I'm only because I don't want to be a Russia. Well, if you don't want to be a Russia, I wouldn't be lying, and then you should be able to trust my edos. So that's the kasha. That's the kasha on that Gemara. If you look in the Maram in Babasa, source number 5, Makshin Olam, the Velt asks, Al Milsi de Shmuel Damarein Meilo Elimination Amida Befei Balchav Gedesh Lehelov Russia Lo Yishalim. V'chi chashid inish lehid sheker she'avera chamura b'shvil she'lo yehilov arash of leishalim. We're going to suspect the guy of lying, which is a much, much, much worse avera, just so that he can protect his reputation, that he shouldn't be a Russia. Umitartzin, and the Velt answers, says the Maran, she'edel sheker hu dover she'eno mefursa. So he's saying, what was the Gemara Bava Basra saying? You can't believe this guy because he's only saying the field belongs to the guy he sold it to. Shelo yehei lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim. Those words do not mean that he doesn't want to be a Russia, because if he didn't want to be a Russia, he wouldn't lie in court either. Shelo yehi lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim does not mean he's not interested in being a Russia. What does it mean? Good. It's not that he doesn't want to be a Russia. He doesn't want to be perceived as a Russia. He doesn't want other people to know that he's a Russia. So he could lie from today until tomorrow in court. No one will know that he's lying. No one will have proof that he's lying. Great. He's happy. He'll worry about it after 120 years. Right now he's happy. Shlo yehi lo v'rasha v'lo yishalim. He doesn't want to be perceived as a Russia. He doesn't want people to think he's a Russia. And that's his bias. And therefore, we have to worry that maybe he's going to lie so that he shouldn't be perceived as a Russia. That's answer number one. Answer number two, says the Maran. Vilinira. He says, that's what the Velt answers. But he says, Vilinira, I have a different answer. De'eino kushyo kolkach. Mishum de'kol davar shi'yesh lo adam hana'abo. Umeyid alav. Yesh lo din eid ha'karov. Sha'adam karov eitzel atzmo. I combined two words there, apparently. Adam karov eitzel atzmo. V'karov pasul edus min haTorah, afilu yadinan be'bevadei she'enu meshaker be'eduso. Well, says Maram, why don't we trust this guy? Shlo yehilo v'rasha v'lo yishalem. It's because he has a negia, he's biased, he wants that his creditor should be paid back. So asks Maram, asks the Velt, what do you mean? So he's going to lie, which is a much worse avera, in order to avoid violating the avera of not paying back a loan? Says Maram, no, no, no. We're not saying that he's a liar. The reason that we're not going to listen to him when he says that the guy I sold it to is the rightful owner is not because he's lying about it. It's because it affects him in some way. Totally different. We often think of, well, if it affects him, he's going to lie in a way that makes it affect him positively. Right? That's the way we automatically assume of Nogea. That's when I said yesterday, what do you think the problem with Nogea is? Everyone said, or whoever spoke said, Nogea relates to lying. Of course, you're going to lie because it makes it look better for you. Says Maram, no, no, that has nothing to do with it. Aaron and Moshe are puzzled to be Adam together, even though they're both the most honest people in the whole entire world. And there's no way that they're lying. They still can't be Adam because there's a din in the Torah that a person is a Karov. Can't be an eight. When we say that someone who's affected by a case, who's no gabadabra, it affects him in some way, that he can't be an eight, it's not because he's going to lie. It's because anyone who's affected is considered a karov. to expand on that just a little bit, there's a case between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me that field, right? If I, Levi, am some way affected by that, we then view it as not just a case between Reuven and Shimon, but if somehow the outcome is going to affect me, then we view it as a case between Reuven, Shimon, and me. I'm party to the case. Does that make me a liar and a cheater if I try to say anything? No, I could be. Whatever I say might be the truth, but you certainly can't accept that as testimony because I'm a party to the case. I'm not an aide. I can only be an aide on something that doesn't affect me. Something that affects me, I become a party to the case. It's a psul karum, nothing to do with any concerns that I might be lying. So you see in these two answers of the Maharam, you see our chakira. What is the problem of nogea be'edus? So the Maharam in the first answer, the answer he quotes from the Velt, the answer he quotes that, you know, people say, assumes very clearly that the problem of nogea be'edus is that you're going to lie. Why would you do the bigger aveira of lying just to avoid doing a smaller aveira of not paying back a loan? No, you're not trying to avoid an aveira of not paying back a loan. You're trying to avoid a reputation of not paying back a loan. And because you're trying to avoid that reputation, you're going to lie. It's a concern that you're going to lie. In the second answer, he says, no, we're not worried about lying. Of course you're not going to lie. It's just that's the din. You can't testify when you're affected by the case. You're no gaya, you're a party to the case. You can't testify. So there you have the chakira. Right there, in the words of the Maharam, is this very chakira. That Maharam is quoted by the Shach. And where this the ball really gets rolling on this chakira is in the Sma and the Shach. The Sma and the Shach both quote the Sefer Ir Shushan, which was written by the Levush. Where the Levush says, matter-of-factly, he just mentions, oh, you should know that when someone is nogeya, lo mishum dechashtinon lei, we don't think he's a liar, lo mishum dadam karavet alatzmo. It's just because he's possible, because he's a karav, he's a party to the case, so that's why we don't accept nothing to do with lying, it has nothing to do with lying, says the Levush. Says the Sma, lo yadati minayin loha. Who told him that? Where in the world did he get that idea? It has nothing to do with lying. Seems to me it's got everything to do with lying. If he stands to make money from it, he'll lie about it. That, of course, that's the reason. And he says, my raya is that Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra says, we can't trust him lest he lie because he stands to gain from it. So you see clearly that it's a concern that he's going to lie. The Shach tries to defend the Levush by saying, no, the Maharam had another answer also. So essentially what it boils down to is that the two Tevitzim of the Maharam are exactly the two tzadim of this major chakira. What's the problem of nogea? Now that we have those two tzadim, let's go back to the question of the arzurua. Question of the arzurua. No, so what was the question of the arzurua? Actually, even before that, what does the Rambam think? Is it a psul nogea or a psul chash mashaker? Look at the Rambam, Eidos Tezvav Aleph. Is it Rambam? Source number 7. Kol Eidos Shetavo Hana La Adamimena. That's a fancy way of saying nogea. Right? Anytime a person's nogea, it's going to affect you in some way. Eino Meid Ba. Shezehu kimeid al atzmo. So what's he saying? Shash mashaker or karov? Karov. You're being made on yourself. You're a karov. You're a party to the case. Very clearly. Lefichach bnei yair shabama ar la ar aleim b'merachat al baruchov shalir. Let's say a whole city is being sued. Einech mi bali yair meid b'davar zeh. Lo dan at shiyasalik atzmo b'kinyin gomar v'achkach yair lo yadin. Nor can he, so a member of that city can't testify because he's nogea. unless he's misalik himself, he says, okay, I'm moving out of town, I'm not going to be a member of that city anymore. Then he can testify. That's based on Gemara Babasra also, which we'll get to. That's also part of it. It's going to have to be part of our discussion. So the Ram seems to say it's not a din of Chashash Meshaker, it's a din of Karov. The din of Karov, that you're not allowed to be a Karov, that a Karov is not allowed to testify. What counts as a relative? How closely related do you have to be a problem of a Karov? What? Yeah, the Gemara goes through a list, and we add Chumras beyond, after the times of the Gemara. Sometimes, Shachtzim said when he was once called up as an aide, Kiddushin, at a wedding, and it dawned on him as he was being called up that he and the other aide were a Shlishi B'Shlishi with two Baal Kishtos, which means they were three generations removed from the common relative. Their wives were three generations removed from the common relative. So a Rishon B'Rishon would mean brothers, right? The common relative is the father, one generation removed from the common relative. Sheni B'Sheni would mean first cousins, right? Shlishi B'Shlishi would mean second cousins. Is that what they call it, right? Second cousins, the next generation down? That's how we talk about it. Shlishi B'Sheni, let's start easier. Sheni B'Rishon would mean my uncle. Right, I'm two generations down from my grandfather. My uncle's one generation down from my grandfather. So Sheni Barishon was my uncle. So that's how these things work. Shlishi Barishon, my great uncle. Right, you get. So we're machmir even on a shlishi b'shlishi with two balkishtos, meaning that our wives are second cousins. We're not even allowed to be aidim together at a wedding. Sometimes you don't even know your wife's second cousin's spouse, depending on how close of a family you are, or how small and large a family you are. But there are clear gedarim of what level of kurva would make you possible. If we're going to say that nogeya is a din of kurva, not a din of chashash meshaker, where do we draw the line? Because we're no longer talking about, you know, krovim in the sense of first cousin, second cousin. We're talking about, if I'm connected to the case, I'm a karov to myself. So where do you draw, how connected do I have to be to the case? Let's say I stand to lose 5 cents in the case. So is that called karov? Let's say there's an outside shot that my stock in a certain company is going to drop based on this case. Is that called karov? How do you define it exactly? If it's chashash meshaker, so the way to define it would be a little bit easier. How would you define it if it's chashash meshaker? Would a reasonable person lie about, have a yetzer hara to lie about something like this? Right? I would have no yetzer hara to lie if, you know, there's an outside shot, I might lose a penny. But if I could lose my whole fortune, you know, well, my whole fortune, but if I could lose a lot of money, then I'd be more likely to lie. Right? So if it's chashash meshaker, you would have to go by reasonable person. If it's kurva, you would want something more concrete to define. What makes me a party to the case? It has nothing to do with my lying. What makes me a party to the case? Look at the Rambam in source number 8. Not the whole thing, but toward the end. Last one line is Yeid. Lefichach lo Yeid alehen. You can't testify about something that you would want a certain party to win. Right? Our case of Babasra, where you want the guy you sold the field to win because you want your Balchov to be able to collect from him. And any such similar type of negia. Udvarim elu einan tluyin ele bedas hadayon va'otsem binaso sheyavin ikar ha-mishpatim v'yeda davar agorim l'davaracher v'yamik liros. Who determines whether you're nogeya? The dayan has to figure out just how biased will you be. Is this, are you connected enough for it to be a problem? Im yimtza sheyesh lazeh eid tzad hanoa be'eduzu afilu b'derech ruchokov v'nefla'a hareze lo yeid ba. If you have any possible far distant way of possibly maybe getting hanoa from this, the dayan's got to research it, he's got to find it, and therefore he can't be made. Does that Rambam sound more like chashash mashaker, or more like that you're just a psul karov because you're no gay? So Rambam sounds more like karov, because if it were chashash mashaker, then it shouldn't be far, distant, maybe, hanah. No, the gether should be something that a reasonable person would lie about. And a reasonable person wouldn't lie about it. If it's too far off, well, then there's no chashash mashaker anymore. So the Rambam's consistent. And the Rambam seems to assume that it's psul karov not because of chashash mashaker. So now, the Or Zeruah raised the safek. The Or Zeruah raised the safek. If I've been saying for years that this guy's a gazlan, so am I still going to be called Nogei Beidus? So says the stipler. Kilos Yaakov's print is in the back of your packet. Says the stipler. I'll tell you what it depends on. It depends on our chakira. If the issue is that we think he might be lying, well, if he's been saying it for 20 years, way before he ever had any monetary interest in it, there's no reason to suspect that he's lying. But if it has nothing to do with the fact that with suspecting that he's lying, it's just that if you have a horse in the race, then you just can't be innate. If you're affected by this case in some way, you just can't be innate. Not because you're a liar, just because you can't be innate. So then even if you've been saying it for 20 years, you'd be possible. What about the other suffix of the Arzurah? What was the other suffix of the Arzurah? When I say that this guy is a gazlan, so that doesn't affect his ability to be made against me, because I'm no geya. Does it affect his ability to be made in other cases? I'm not no geya in other cases, so it depends what the psul no geya is. If the psul is that I'm a karov, so I'm only a karov in my case, I'm not a karov in any of the other cases. And therefore, it doesn't affect him in other cases. Let him go and be made in other cases. But if the psul is that you think I'm lying, well, if I'm lying that he's a gazlan, then it shouldn't affect him in other cases. Then if I'm lying that he's a gazlan, how do I say? If I'm lying that he's a gazlan, I'm lying. It's all a big fat lie, and therefore he should be completely unaffected by my saying that he's a gazlan, both in my case and in other cases. He should be allowed to testify in other cases. Both Sveikos and the Or Zeruah are completely talui on that chakira. What else did we ask? Rameir Shita made no sense. Rameir is saying, because I'm testifying about the Zeda, therefore I'm not in Ogea Beedus. So, no, how would you explain Rameir? If the concern is that I'm going to lie to save money, that's what we're really worried about. So then the Chum make plenty of sense. I know that when I testify about the Zayd, it's going to save me $1 million. That concern very much still exists. Right? But if the concern is that I can't be made about something that's nogea me, that I'm a party to the case in, me being made about his yichus, about the Zayda's yichus, is not nogea me at all. The Zayda's yichus has nothing to do with me. It happens to be, I may end up saving money from it, but that case has nothing, that's a different case. That's my case against the grandson. The Zayda's yichus is a case that I have nothing to do with. I'm not a karov to that case. And therefore, maybe I should be believed. Right? Because I'm not talking about, and that might be the svar of Rameir. The Rameir is saying that the psul of Nogea is a psul of Kurva. That if I'm a karov to a case, okay, if I'm Nogea Vadavra, it makes me like a karov to that case. And a karov to that case, I can't be made. But the Zayd Zichus is not a case that I'm a karov to. It happens to be that it's going to affect a case that I'm a karov to, but it's not a case that I'm a karov to. When I'm made about this aid that's trying to testify in Bezin right now against me, that I'm a karov to. If I'm made that he's a gazlan, that I'm a karov to. But I'm made about a zayd zichus, that I'm not a karov to at all. Mishael Melech raises the following issue. It's in your packet also. Mishael Melech raises the following issue. We know there's a rule in Shas. Nimtza echad meam karav apostle, edusim betela. That if one guy is found to be a karav apostle, even if you have 10 witnesses, but one of them is found to be a karav apostle, all the edus is batel. What if one guy is found to be a nogeya be'edus? One of them is a nogeya. Does it ruin the edus of everybody else? So this also might relate. The Rivash holds, one guy is found to be nogeya, doesn't ruin everybody else. Bala Trumos, Mishnah Melech quotes, we still say edus about the mutsas about the kula.
So when you pass one eid in a cut, you pass all the other eid.
That's what we're saying. That rule, that when you pass one eid in a cut, you pass all the other eid. Does that only mean if you prove one of them is a gambler or a ganav or whatever? Or even if just one of them, he's a kosher aid, he's just nogeya to this case. This case is going to affect him. Does that mean that all the other eidim are automatically cancelled out? Yeah?
Well, if you're passing him because he stole, then you're passing for other cases too, but here...
Him? What about his fellow eidim?
Yeah, no, so I'm saying if... In the case where you pass on him because he's a gazlan or whatever, so that... Then he has the status of pasul, but if he's a karov, then I don't think he's really pasul.
But the thing is, nimsachanim karov o pasul eidus and betevah. Even if I... If you have 10 edim and one of them is a karov, where he's kosher for other edus, still, for this case, the whole edus is going to be batel. Now, when you have, let's say, 10 people come to Beis Din to testify that Reuven owes Shimon money, one of those people is Shimon. 10 guys walk into Beis Din and say, Reuven owes Shimon money. One of them happens to be Shimon, saying, hey, Reuven owes me money. Do you say, oh, one of them is a karov apostle, because Shimon is related to himself, so the edus of the other nine is batel? So we don't say that, because Shimon's not a karov, Shimon is a baldavar, he's the guy. When you're a baldavar, we don't say, nimtzachem yom karov apostle, edus and betela. Right? How did we understand the chashash nogeya? We have two possibilities. Either when I'm nogeya, I'm going to lie, or when I'm nogeya, what? What was the other possibility? Why would I be possible if I'm nogeya? What's the other possibility? I'm baldavar. The party, it's not Reuven and Shimon, now it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. The Mishnah Melech Safek, do you say, Nimtzachanim Karav Apostle Edus and Betela, even when one of them is found to be nogeya, is totally on our Chakira. If nogeya is a problem of that he's a gazlan, that he's a liar, that he's a chashash meshaker, so then the whole edus should be batel. He found a real psul here. But if nogeya is not a problem of mishaker, nogeya is a problem just that he's a baldavar. Well, baldavar doesn't, you don't say in Sefer Neim Karv Apostol that edus and betela when one of them is a baldavar. Perhaps. That's the sheet of the right that we don't say when one of them is baldavar, and that's what we will discuss next on today's Wednesday. So tomorrow we have a general shiur from me to the whole yeshiva about Hakdama to some interesting or important sefer, or perhaps even both an interesting and important sefer. I have to figure out which one I'm going to do. And then our next year will be Sunday. Our next regular year will be Sunday. So Sunday we'll pick up with that Shita Saravid. We'll discuss the concept of Baldavar a little bit, and primarily we'll be focused on Rav Shechter's couple of pieces on the topic in Ginas Egos. So we'll do Temin Halacha now.